Hi, and welcome to the Debrief Show, the show for leaders who want to bring out the best in themselves, their teams, and their communications. If you've ever started the year full of good intentions, only to feel your motivation just sliding away within weeks, then this episode is for you. I'm Dee Clayton, your host, a multi-award-winning executive coach, team trainer, and author. My passion is helping leaders and teams to bring out the best by transforming how they communicate. Joining me this time is Kate Turner. Kate is an executive coach, team facilitator, and an expert in motivational maps in the UK. Kate's been working with leaders and teams for over 20 years, and she's a conference speaker and number one best-selling author of Create Motivation. Her ambition is to transform how leaders approach motivation in the workplace. In this episode, we're going to explore how to avoid the common mistakes that leaders make when they're setting goals, how to set objectives that motivate not just you, but your team as well, and how to stop motivation fizzling out as the year goes on. Hi, Kate, and welcome. Thank you for coming on the show.
So good to be here.
Thank you. So tell us, what mistakes do leaders make when it comes to setting goals and objectives for the new year or the new financial year?
Such a good question, such a timely question to be asking as well. I think what's interesting is, so often when we're setting goals, we set it through our own lens. We think, well, that would be exciting for me. It must be exciting for other people. So there's something about being able to absolutely recognize what motivates you, why you find something inspirational, exciting, wanting to get to, but then putting that to one side and being able to tune into what the other person is looking for. What would get them to be owning this goal? What would mean that they are going to be working on that when nobody else is looking? It's the bit where they come alive wanting to focus on this area. And a lot of leaders don't do that. They send them through their own lens, for sure.
Right. So they haven't kind of engaged their team, or if they're talking to lots of people, they haven't. Yeah, I see that they're racing away a lot as well, aren't they? Like, yeah, we've got to do this. And other people are like, well, I've only just done this, or I haven't even finished that yet. And you want me to start the next thing. I see that. What other mistakes do leaders make as the kind of year unfolds? So maybe they're all keen to begin with. Is there any other mistakes that happen maybe after month one or month two?
Yeah, I think actually it's about how you've set it up and how this then unfolds during the year. So often when I use the next word I'm going to use, people sort of groan, because the acronym I'm going to use is one that's very well worn, but we're going to use it in a different way this time.
Do you want me to groan? Ready? Go for it.
SMART.
Oh, not smart. I've done SMART goals before, Kate. I know who I are.
When I started out in my career, which is quite a long time ago, I remember seeing SMART goals and thinking that was really cool. Anyway, a couple of years ago, maybe a bit longer, I came across somewhere, I don't remember where, so if somebody remembers where and can tell me, fantastic. I certainly wouldn't own it for myself, but they had redefined SMART, and it fits so beautifully with motivation. So here we go.
Okay, I'm writing it down.
So specific, great, excellent, you're writing it down. So specific stays the same. We really do need to be specific, because if we don't know exactly what we're aiming for, then we're in trouble. But the M, can you remember what the M stands for?
Measurable.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we still want it to be measurable, but we're not going to use that word, because we're talking about motivation, we're going to use the word motivational. Okay. So we'll come back to the measurement bit. So specific, motivational. This is the opportunity to have a conversation with your team member about, what is it about this goal that really matters to you? What is it that lights you up, sets you on fire, gets you really excited? Because if you've had that conversation at the start of the year, made a couple of notes, it means that should things fade later, you can go back to that conversation. So that's the motivational bit.
This is a little bit like the why, the Simon Sinek, the start with why thing. Is that similar?
It might be, if that's their motivator. So if that's what motivates them, understanding how what they do makes a difference, then that would be the frame of that conversation. But if the reason why they love that goal is around learning, then actually it's going to be, I want to be able to get the most learning I can get from pursuing this particular goal by being able to achieve it. Or it might be about where I can get a real reputation, being a reputation in the business for doing good work. So it's getting to that bit. What is it that drives them so that you can come back to it later in the year? Okay, so that's the motivational bit. Smart. The next one is that it's achievable.
Uh-huh.
And this fits with the motivation bit as well, because unless it's achievable, you're not going to be motivated to do it, are you? Because you're going to think, what's the point? Mm-hmm. What is the point? And like you said at the beginning, that at the beginning of the year, people are excited, and managers and leaders can race away and so can set goals that for them might look achievable, but to the individual doing it, no. So really checking in on how achievable it is to the individual doing it, as opposed to the person who's going to be looking on from afar.
Mm. Yeah. And with things like AI that may seem so out there that people can't sort of see what is achievable, is it about the leader painting a picture of what it could look like, or how do you make it achievable if you don't even know what you want to some extent?
I think it's breaking it down. So if it is something that looks big and actually you're in a changing landscape, and that might not be the same by the end of the year, the thing you're thinking it's going to be might not be the same by the end of the year or the end of 6 months, whatever. Achievable is, okay, so we know what we want to get to in 6 months' time, but actually, where would a great place to be by a month or 2 months? Mm-hmm. And that means you've got some stones that feel much more doable and achievable. And you can review it then to see whether we're on track to that bigger objective goal. That does it still make sense? But you've made progress in the meantime. Progress is so important when it comes to motivation. So yeah, I think it's that piece that makes it achievable. I think it's more in the planning and the doable chunks piece, really.
Yeah.
So I was saying about the continuing on with SMART, and we've done the achievable and the R. Often it's realistic, mm-hmm. but in this definition, it's relevant. Relevant. And that feels really important. Is this goal relevant to where I'm going in my career? Is it relevant to what I hear we're doing in the business? Is it relevant in the sector as I understand it? So that relevance, again, gives the individual an opportunity to own it. And as the year continues, that relevance can be checked because the landscape's changing, right?
Mm.
So important.
Yeah, because
I've not ever gotten that yet.
By the time they get to the end of the year, it might not be relevant anymore because but it is on my objectives. I did it.
Exactly. And we've gone in completely wrong direction because it's no longer relevant. And we didn't pick up on what the market was doing or what was now important to the team.
Yeah. Fantastic. Okay. So we've got a T. Tell me about the T.
Got a T. So that's normally time bound, but we missed out on the measurable. So we make it trackable. Trackable is where that T comes in. So that is about time. It's about measures. It's KPIs. But actually, it's an even better conversation than that you have, which is how will we know? How will we know that this is being achieved? And that's a much more outcome type goal than an output type goal conversation. And again, I think that is really relevant to us feeling that what we do matters.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you. Well, I will ungroan about that one. That's excellent. Very good. And so if leaders do that, then they should be able to sustain motivation throughout the year, because if they feel it dipping, they can just come back to their notes or whatever that discussion and say, so, you know, here's where it fits in with your career, or we're 2 months in now. How's it looking? Are the things that we thought we might see? So you've got a lot more ways to check in, haven't you? I like that. That's excellent. Fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. That's really good. Now, I've got your book here, I must say. Fantastic. Well thumbed through. What I really liked about your book, Kate, is it's so simple. And it's actually a very complex topic, motivation and creating motivations in teams. And I read it and I was a bit envious, actually, of how simple you made such deep subjects, I think, actually. Yeah. Did that take you a long time, or did you find that really easy? Is that one of your superpowers?
It's a superpower I think we all have, actually. So before I wrote the book, I was working with a coach, and I was sort of talking about, I use all these different tools and different techniques and everything else, things that other people have created. And I was saying I wanted to write my own book, but what did I have to write about? And she said, but what are the words you use between the tools? What is the magic that you bring that makes you you in those moments between those tools? Mm. And so I started recording myself. This is before we used to, you know, we were on Zoom. This is me in actual in person. So I had a little microphone on. People knew.
I remember though.
Yeah, remember that we were in person all the time. Anyway, it meant that I was only listening to me, really. I mean, I was obviously interested in what the people had said, but I was doing that anyway because I was responding to people in the room anyway. It was more how I was responding. And it was through doing that, it started refining and defining what I saw in the whole field of motivation. And then the book kind of wrote itself, really. It's weird.
Fabulous. And there's some more resources online that go into more depth, aren't there? But you've kept the book simple and then you kind of tease people in. And then if they want more, they can get more online. I really like that. I thought that's brilliant. So tell me a little bit about the CREATE model. Well, what is it for, first of all? We've already got our SMART for our goal setting and keeping us on track. So what's the CREATE? How's that different, an acronym, and what's that for?
Yeah, and it is an acronym. You're absolutely right. So CREATE is, the subtitle of the book is Unlock the Leader Within. So this to me is about how I saw individuals as leaders, but also in teams, were struggling after a while to keep the motivation going in terms of keeping going with the learning that I might have done with them in a session. It was almost like I'd come in, I'd get people excited about a model or a leadership program, what have you, and they were up for it. They were really wanting to get on with these new ways of working. And then I'd leave, and then 3, 4, 5, 6 months later, I'd get a call and say, "We need a bit of Kate." And I'm, at first, I was sort of feeling quite, "Oh, yes, that's nice." And then I realized, "Oh, something's gone wrong here." That desire, that motivation to use this stuff to build the skill and the behaviors.
Yeah.
I've been lending my motivation to others rather than enabling them to find their own. So the compliment was actually a bit of a slap around the face. And so what I realized was that if I was lending my motivation to individuals in those teams, it's very likely that leaders do that to their teams as well. Mm. And therefore, wouldn't it be good to find a way to help people switch on, ignite their own motivation so that they could be both the energy source for it, but also renewable energy source for it. Mm. So that's where CREATE came from.
And the way people would know that that's happening is that it's all going okay when the leader's there, and when the leader isn't there, or when the team goes maybe virtual and the leader isn't there with the team, then things don't go so well. So it's more like leading from the front, isn't it? Like or pushing uphill. I don't know which way around it is, but is that one of the symptoms how we'd know that that was happening?
Yeah, I think so. I think when you're having to, push, I think that's a good word, push the team forward, that it doesn't seem to be self-propelling, that's when it probably means that there's an imbalance of where the motivational pool resource is in a team. And that's where the CREATE acronym got born. So let me take you through that, because you asked me that, didn't you? To CREATE. So current reality is the first bit. So lots of models, when they're looking at growth, start with the end in mind. I'm not going to doubt Stephen Covey and start with the end in mind. However, I think that it's really useful that if you're about to embark on a journey, you sort of know where your starting point is.
Yeah.
And I think in looking at your current reality, you're able to both appreciate the journey you've already been on and own what you already have, which is quite good to do that. Actually, this time of year, it was a brilliant thing to do.
Yeah.
Be sort of like, what have I achieved? What have I gained? What have I succeeded in? What am I brilliant at? So that you can, I always think of it as a sort of range of mountains, and I love skiing. So I sort of think of it as, you've got to this top of this mountain, you've come a long way, and this mountain is your current reality. And only when you've peaked, when you've got to the top, you go, oh, there's another mountain I can go and climb over there. How fabulous. And this is in an excitable way. For me, this is a good thing. This is a good analogy. If you don't like mountains and don't like climbing, you don't know.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, I do that a lot with my clients. If they want to do a goals workbook, the first thing in the workbook is to say what's gone really well last year, and what didn't go so well, and what's the gap, and what's the missing pieces, what's the difference that made the difference. But way before, it takes halfway till the workbook till you go into next year's goals. So I agree with that. And I've got a 5-0 coaching model that I developed with Melanie Don Blythe as well. And again, the same thing, we look at the opportunity, i.e. the problem, what is the problem first before you go into the future. So I'm not a fan of the other coaching, grow coaching models. I know lots of people, I might have upset a lot of people with that, but I'm with you on that, Kate.
Yeah, they all have their place, don't they? And I think this one, when you're embarking on something, acknowledging your starting point gives you a sense of where you're already at and the fact you have travelled. And then you can come to the first E, which is envision. So envisioning your future, and that's the goal setting piece really here. So it's about what are the outcomes, impact, results that you want to achieve? How are you going to get there in terms of your skills, your behavior, your knowledge, your experience, and what's your motivation for getting there? So I talk about it as a triangle. I use this throughout the CREATE model, actually. So you'll have noticed those three questions there.
What was a triangle on the front of the book?
Exactly. What are the outcomes, impact, results you want to get? What does success look like? How are you going to get there in terms of skills, behavior, knowledge, and experience? And then why bother? Why bother? Why am I bothering going on this journey? What's in it for me? Why does it matter to me? It's a very owned way of saying the why, by saying why bother, isn't it? It really puts it back to you, which I think is important.
Yeah, I like that. Good. So what's next?
So next of that, we have the A, which is alignment. So if you can imagine that you've got that triangle drawn out, and that's your success triangle, as I call it, that what, how, why bother. Then draw another triangle immediately outside of it. So you've got one within the other. Okay. That's the team version. So you can do that exercise at a team level as well. They're what, they're how, they're why, what, they're. And you can keep going, have an organizational one, sector one, whatever you'd like. The alignment is, how do you join the dots between what you're developing in terms of your outcomes, impact, results, the what, and the teams and the organizations. We're really used to doing that, aren't we, with goal setting, that you've got that sort of golden thread, I think it used to be called, between what you're delivering and other people. But we need it on the how as well. How do my skills complement, support, and encourage other skills in this team? We don't want to be carbon copies of each other. We want people to be delivering and developing their own skills and behaviors and complementing each other beautifully there. And we need our motivators fed. We don't want to be inadvertently treading on other people's motivators because either we don't know what they are or because they are opposite to where we are. So we want some alignment, some congruency amongst those pieces, which is really, really key. So that's our A in there.
So if I understand correctly, what I think, maybe, you can tell me if I've understood this correctly. So the most organizations are quite good at aligning the KPIs, which is the what, which is, here's what I need to do this year. And how does that fit in the, let's say, triangle of what the business needs to do this year? But I don't think I've ever come across any organizations that then say, how do I do that with the team, and why bother with the team? I don't think that's very common at all.
I think the closest I see on the how is through behavior frameworks and the ways of working conversations that you see.
Yeah. They're normally like the whole team, aren't they? Right. So I do a lot of the ways of working stuff as well, but that's normally the whole team's going to do this. So everybody's going to interact like that, rather than D's great at this and so-and-so's, Kate's great at that and Doris is great at that. So that sounds nicer, doesn't it, to have that individual role.
Exactly. And that's the alignment bit. You've hit the nail on the head entirely. Is normally the team bit happens by itself, and then the individual's left to figure out, well, how does that relate to me then? Whereas this is encouraging that conversation to happen and it to be done in a very deliberate way, so that you feel like your contribution, your unique contribution, is absolutely valued, rather than fitting in with what the team's agreed.
Yeah, I like that, because we probably do that a little bit less well planned than that, but in the ways of working workshops that maybe we do, we would say this particular person, you're great at speaking up for the team, or you're great at bringing in this structure, you're great at doing the review. So actually bringing that in more formally, the leaders can do that after they've seen their unique strengths. I love that. What's next?
What's next is T. So this is test out. So I don't know what you're like, but at this time of year, you've got these ambitions of what you're going to achieve. You've done your current reality. You've got your envisioned future. You can see how it's aligned and you're desperate to get going. But that enthusiasm we have, that clarity of thought that we have whilst we're feeling really resourceful at this starting point, can be really useful to test out what might come up on the journey ahead. What are the obstacles that might arise? And from this resourceful place before I go, what might I need to think about? It's a bit like I've got a friend about to go and climb Kilimanjaro. What an amazing achievement, right? And she's thinking now about what she needs to take with her just in case. And that's what we're talking about here. You know, she might get clear weather the whole day, but she might not do.
Yeah.
You know, 6 days that she's going to be there and camping on the mountainside. So it's those sorts of things. So can you test out the obstacles and think, well, a resourceful place with all these amazing skills I've just owned by doing my current reality, what do I think I might do if I face those?
I like that. Have you seen the book, The Dip? It's a very easy reading book. I think, is it Seth Godin? It's a brilliant book, and it is all about whenever you start something new, you're going to come into a dip. And really, I think my version of the book was either know what you're going to face and know how you're going to get through it, which is exactly what this sounds like, or know what you're going to face and then decide not to start in the first place. Don't waste all those hours, get to the dip and go, oh, I didn't know there'd be a dip. You know there's going to be one. And what you're saying is address the dip while you've got the energy to predict and be creative enough to get out the dip, or decide you don't want to, depending on what it is. Yeah. I like that.
I've not come across that, and I love Seth Godin's work. So yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it's speaking to. And remembering that sometimes when we're really excited about a goal, we can put the blinkers on. So we may not see the possibilities that may come up in the next whatever time frame. So this test out is both problems and opportunities. And it's like, well, okay, how am I going to keep the blinkers off enough to look for those opportunities and make sure that I don't miss them as I go? And that's about adjusting really to the territory and what have you in a positive way. So that is why I put the T in there. Plus it starts to create a word, doesn't it?
It does, yes. I was just thinking, what happened to R? But the C and the R is for current reality. For anyone thinking, what happened to the R over there? Well, it's all right. Kate's got it right. Don't worry, everybody.
I cheated. So then we have the E, which is about engage. So again, this is a good motivation territory in itself, because if you have got these great plans and you don't tell anybody about it, you've got no accountability. But if you engage others with what you're doing, they will hold you to account, whether you ask them to or not, because they're going to ask you, how did you get on with the time to get on the jar, or how did you get on with whatever? So they will naturally do that. But also, what's great is I firmly believe that we're all leaders, and therefore our behavior impacts on others and how they step up. So if we're doing and using, creating, coming up with these amazing ways to be able to step forward and growing, if we let other people know we're doing it, we engage in conversation, let other people know we're doing that, that might excite them to do it too. Mm. And then we start getting more and more people taking responsibility for their current reality, their envisioned future, their alignment, them testing out and them engaging others. So it becomes a bit of a movement, a bit of a way of working within teams and organizations.
So you're modeling good behavior yourself as the leader, helping other people through that may never have come across this before. That sounds brilliant. Great. So there's no excuse not to get all of it done now, including all these wonderful goals that we've set for ourselves. We've got no excuses now, have we?
No excuses. And if you feel like your motivation is fading, that's where you go back and you look at, okay, maybe my motivations have changed. The goal might be the same. So, you know, we don't, especially in an organization, we don't always have the opportunity to change the goal. We're employed to deliver on certain things, aren't we? But our relationship to that goal might have changed. So let's look at our motivators and think, okay, if that goal is the same, what now matters to me about that goal? How does that feed my motivators from this new place? That's important. That's another thing people get wrong, actually, is that they assume that what motivation at the beginning of the year is going to be the same later on, and it's not. So being able to check in on people's motivators and realign to the outcomes is a really essential way of keeping track with people.
Yeah, that's just made me think of these high achievers that are motivated by you're getting to the top of that mountain you were talking about. But once they've got mostly there, they're like, oh, well, I've kind of climbed that one. So they drop off at the end because they're not interested. And they're looking around for the next mountain before they finish that mountain. So that could be a good time for them to review what could they look at to make sure they finish that. If they need to finish that and can't give that completion bit to someone else, then what is it that will motivate them to complete that last bit?
Yes, exactly. You're making me think of people who don't like completing and finishing. It's close to home for me. So it's sort of like all excited about the project. But it's those final bits. And you're exactly right. And it might well be that you associate those tasks of the finishing piece, the detail, with one of the things that don't motivate you. So, for example, I know we both use motivational maps. There's a motivator in there called Defender, which is about security and reliability and predictability. Quite likes a process. My Defender motivator is pretty low. So if I associate finishing a task with the Defender motivator, it's going to be, you know, a process and it's going to be stable. Ooh, that feels a bit luck to me. I don't know about you. Yeah. So what we do is we don't think about the action finishing in relation to our lowest motivator. We reframe it. We reframe it in terms of our top motivator.
So how can we make a difference by finishing the project, right? That's your motivator, which ours are. And many people actually, aren't they? So you're talking about motivational maps. Is now a good time to have a quick talk about motivational maps? Some of my listeners to other podcasts might know a little bit about motivational maps, maybe. But how do they really help leaders to, you know, do this create model? Where do they fit in, or how do they help leaders to motivate themselves for the year and their teams?
Yeah, great question. I think a lot of leaders don't know where to start with the motivation aspects. If I was to show them the triangle, the success triangle, they'd be like, I know how to do the what. We've done objectives for years. We'll use SMART now. We've got the how, because we've had, that's often in an appraisal discussion, isn't it, about training and behaviours and what have you. So I know those bits. But you're telling me I need to talk about motivation. And they think the conversation often is asking, what motivates you? How are you? How are you feeling? It's that sort of vague conversation, if it's the how are you. But what motivates you is way too sort of
complex
between the eyes. You know, it's like, ooh. And if you've not thought about it as an individual, what motivates you? The first words that come out are likely to be the things you don't have a chance to voice before, or what you think is culturally appropriate to be saying. And therefore you might stop yourself from saying the things that really matter to you. So motivational maps is a great way to not only accurately identify the order and importance of 9 motivators, it introduces a common language so that when a manager is sat down with a team, they don't need to interpret what was being said by whom. And they've got one language, one sort of set of trigger words. I mean, obviously behind those trigger words, there's a whole recipe for each individual, but the trigger word helps the manager get into that conversation about, oh yeah, that's right. This person very much likes to solve problems. This is creative motivator. They want to be involved in the discussions where we're really thinking big about possibility. What's the opportunity for that this year? So just knowing creator is associated with that individual helps them think about how they can best interact with that member of the team. Of course, not just one motivator people have. Top three is normally what we look at. They balance out beautifully.
And earlier you were saying about if it's the lowest motivator of mine, so like we were talking about Defender. So if the manager is all about making a difference and not Defender, and there's a team member who's all about Defender, then that's going to be really difficult for them to understand without a tool like motivational maps, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So you're missing each other, aren't you? Because what you value and therefore what you prioritize by, let's say, high searcher, which is making a difference, to somebody with low of that and something quite opposite, like you say, defender, think, why are they spending all their time on that, talking about what difference they're going to be making? We need to get the process done, you know. It's sort of, so you're talking at odds. And that's why I think it's so important for teams to appreciate each other and how I mentioned about not inadvertently stepping people's motivators.
Yeah.
But we do that when we don't have the language. And Maps enables those conversations to take place, not just from managers, team member, but between team members, isn't it?
Yeah. I did a earlier podcast with Melanie Don-Blybe, actually, and we were talking about personality styles with Insights Discovery, the red, yellow, blue, green. They're completely different measures, but there is overlap of that, you know, what's your colour energy, what's their colour energy, and not stepping on each other's toes. And it's all about building rapport and getting into their world and understanding the other person and understanding yourself and then realising if there's a big gap. So one of the videos I talk about, mind the gap, you know, be aware of the gap and make sure you don't fall down it, because lots of people don't even look out for the gap. And then if there is a gap, you've got to make an effort to get over that gap, haven't you? Put some effort into learning the other side of that. So,
which is about respect and inclusion and, you know, just generally being interested and caring about other people, isn't it? Sort of like, oh, there's a gap between us. What should we do about that gap? We're very different, aren't we?
And
And I love what you said about insight. So that fits beautifully with the success triangle. So the motivational maps obviously fits with the why bother, and insights fits so beautifully with the how, the behavior piece of how. And to my mind, we use both tools together with all of our clients. Understanding your behaviors is one piece. Understanding why you behave that way is something else, and what takes you to what's called good day and bad day, isn't it, in insights, bad day behaviors, and understanding both those pieces and then being able to sort of reflect and piece it together for yourself, that's what makes it uniquely you, rather than being given colors and names of motivators. It's like, ah, that's what it means for me. And you're right, some of them coincide, but some are a surprise when you have that combination, and that's what your team members need to know. So powerful.
It's very good. So obviously we're coming at it from a people angle. Let's assume I'm a data and I just want to care about the results. What's all this fluffy stuff you're talking about, Kate, all this motivation business, and I'm talking about rapport, and isn't it just the right thing to do? Tell me about the cold hard facts. This is going to actually deliver some results, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And what I actually think that what's great about motivational maps is it makes the invisible visible. So it's there anyway. This motivation stuff's there. And if you want to call it fluffy, whatever, soft, you know, the words that get thrown, isn't it? It's certainly subjective. What motivates us? It's in that part of our brain that doesn't have words. So that's what makes it feel intangible and possibly out of reach to people who like facts and figures and data and measurements and what have you. But what Maps does is it puts a measure on it. It puts two measures on it, actually, at least. A measure that is how important is this motivator, and it rates it against the other eight. You've got the order and importance with an actual number on it, as you know, but it also shows the extent to which you're motivated in each of those buckets. Mm. And that's where, from a manager perspective, it creates the, if you like, the gap analysis between where somebody is in how well they're being motivated and where they would like to be. And it starts to be able to show a direct correlation between somebody's energy levels and where their performance could be. Mm-hmm. If you're highly motivated, you have sustainable performance. Mm-hmm. Sustainable performance, and that's what we all want. Yes, people can dig deep and push through and perform at a high level when they're not motivated for a while, but it'll then learn to burn out. We want sustainable performance. And the only way, to my mind, of doing that is to make sure that we're getting those motivators well fed on a regular basis. And as a manager, if you really like facts, maps are great for giving you that data, and you can repeat, see the difference. So it takes out of the fluffy box and into the same types of measures we see in marketing and sales and operations, etc. It's where it should be, really.
Yeah. And for people listening who might go, well, individuals specifically thinking, well, I've just got a MAP session coming up, and what if my motivation score is really low? I don't want my manager to know that. But it doesn't mean that your performance is low, does it? It just means that longer term, that's going to be an effort. You might be the best performer on the team, but with really low motivation because you're digging so deep. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's what you're feeling.
It's a bit like, if you think of it, this is a metaphor. There are certain things that my body doesn't like me eating. And although I can still perform at a high level, and outwardly people would probably think, oh, she's fine. Inwardly, I'm having to think, why was there caffeine in that coffee? Because my body does not deal with caffeine at all. Inside, my brain is racing and I'm having to do a lot of work to control all of that. But my performance on the outside probably looks the same to everybody because my professional self steps forward. And that's the same with this, right? That you may be, as you said, the top performer on the team because you will not let your standards fall. You absolutely are committed to making this work. But inside, you're using up all of your reserves of energy. And in time, well, to start off with, probably taking it out on members of the family and other things that you're doing.
But I was just thinking, when you get home, you're probably a nightmare.
Yeah, exactly. And you're not then doing the things that probably replenish you.
Yeah.
But in time, you're going to start burning out on you. And, I've been there. It literally has happened to me. And I realized that, I wasn't taking care of those things that really mattered to me, that made me function really well. And I think this gives people the opportunity to take back ownership of those things that make them work really well, in the same way as we do it with our diet and fitness. Yeah. We can do this really easily with motivation.
Great. And we've got a couple of episodes on resilience, or touching on resilience, because it's such an important topic, actually. But thank you for mentioning that. That's really good. So there's so many more things I want to talk about, but goodness me, I think we probably need to get you on in next season as well. So just to wrap up then, what practical steps can people take to make sure this year's goals and the measures that they've put in for themselves really go swimmingly well? We've got our SMART, our new SMART. We've got our CREATE. What, maybe that seems a bit too much. What are some smaller steps that people can take, would you suggest, then?
Yeah, and it's about small steps. It's a really important point, isn't it? It's breaking it down. I think at the beginning of the year, a great thing to do individually or as part of the team or both is just do the current reality bit. Mm-hmm. Of the office model. And it's broken down this in the book. It's got some questions around what you can ask yourself. It basically uses the triangle. So it'll ask you some what questions, some how questions, and some why bother questions. On the online resources, there's better questions, basically, because I've been using the model since I published the book. And so there's some more questions, and there's also some other resources. If you do that for yourself, it will really set you up well for the year, because you'll be remembering what your success strategy is, where you currently are, and what you should be patting yourself on the back for. Mm. And at team level, the same. And from there, you can then start thinking about those goals. But that's the place I would start, without doubt.
Right. And it does motivate you, because when I look back on the year, I can't believe that. I'm like, really? I've done that? And that's huge. At the time, it was huge. But now I'm a year down, I'm like, oh, well, of course I launched a podcast or something. But before I launched a podcast, that was a really big deal. Now I've done it, it's like, okay, I've done it. So you look back at, but when you actually stop and say, really, I did that, it does motivate you. And it gives you that, oh, well, I can do that, I can do more. So you're absolutely right on that. Tell me about the more resources. So obviously there's the book, which is fantastic. And the resources, can get those resources at your website?
Yeah, absolutely. So the website, which I'm guessing you'll put in the show notes, create-motivation.co.uk, on there, there's information about the model, and you can sign up for the resources. So it gives you access to our learning hub, basically, and you can find lots of useful hints and tips and ideas.
Some videos for you, yeah. videos of you talking through it. So it's really accessible. Highly recommend people go there if they want to spend a little bit of time improving their motivation, improving their team's motivation. That's fantastic. So many things I wanted to ask you. So we definitely have to do another one. Is there anything else that maybe I should have covered today that you think, well, we can't finish without mentioning that? Or do you think we've, for the moment, covered most of our new year steps?
I think I would just reinforce the message that this is about individuals being able to own this for themselves. There might be some people listening who have got people management responsibility sort of thinking, oh, this is another thing I've got to do.
Yeah.
It really isn't. This is about how can you bring the team into a conversation where they own their own motivation, mm-hmm. and you get everybody, igniting that energy from the inside so that you're not lending your motivation to the team in the same way that I used to with my clients. I think that's really important, you know, get that intrinsic motivation really switched on. And I think what that does is it really deepens the self-awareness, the emotional intelligence journey that we absolutely want all of the people that we're working with to have.
Another episode on emotional intelligence as well. You're just covering all the key words here and you didn't even know. Fantastic. That's great. But yeah, I think that's really important, isn't it? And maybe you use your motivation to start this off because you know about this. So the listeners are maybe responsible for kicking it off. But once they kick it off, you're saying this is, I like that phrase, the renewable energy in your team. So you might be starting up generator, whatever the metaphor is. But then once it's passed over, they can do their renewable energy themselves. So I like that idea. That's fantastic. Thank you. Brilliant. Thank you so much for being with us today. That's been wonderful to chat to you and look forward to seeing you again soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
That's your debrief for today. And we really appreciate you joining us. Thank you. And a big thank you also to my guest today, Kate Turner, for sharing her ideas on how leaders and their teams can continue to have great motivation all throughout 2026. I really like the fresh take on the SMART and acronym and, of course, the CREATE model that's in her book. And for more info, please check out the show notes. You can catch episodes of The Debrief Show on Apple, Spotify, wherever else you get your podcasts. And if you'd like to watch us in action, you can visit us on YouTube. Just find D Clayton Channel and look for The Debrief Show. Make sure you follow the show and share this episode with a colleague or friend or anyone else you think would find it useful. Until next time, keep bringing out the best in yourself, your teams, and your communications.